Today, on The Journey.
Adam's sin caused all of us to be sinners, every human being. Jesus' obedience makes salvation available to all men.
Two men have decided the eternal destiny of the human race. You belong to one of them. The question is, which one? On today's broadcast, Ron Moore compares their deeds so that you may choose the one who brings life. Also, please note our offer of Ron's book, Journey Through the Bible. Its 371 pages will lead you on a one-year sojourn from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org, and I'll tell you more about it later on. Now, here's Ron with The Gift of Grace on The Journey.
Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, a letter written by the Apostle Paul in 58 AD. The letter breaks out in this way. First, there's the introduction and theme in the first 17 verses. In that verse 16 and 17, Paul states the theme. This book is about the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel. And Paul says, I can't wait to tell it. I am proud of it. I boast about the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for all who believe, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And so Paul, through his book, is going to develop that. First, he's going to say, why would we need this power of God to save us? And so in chapter 1, 18 through chapter 3, verse 20, he talks about sin, the fact that no one is righteous, not even one. No one understands. No one seeks after God. We are dead in our trespasses and sins, he says in another book. We need a Savior. And so he tells us in chapter 3, 21 through 5, 21 about salvation, what it means to be saved, what it means to be rescued. And so he tells us what salvation is all about. We're going to complete that section today. Then we're going to get into sanctification, spiritual growth. What does it look like for a believer to grow? We're going to look at God's sovereignty in chapters 9 through 11, and then the application in chapters 12 through 16. So that gives you an idea of where we're headed here. Today we're going to finish this section on salvation, and we're going to focus in chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. Now, in this section, Paul is going to drill down on the work of Jesus Christ. It is all about Jesus Christ. We cannot earn our salvation. We don't deserve it. And so Paul is going to tell us over and over and over and over again that this grace that God gives us is something that we cannot deserve. You're going to see the word gift. You're going to see the word grace throughout this passage. All along, he is telling us it is about Jesus Christ. And Paul does something in this passage. He contrasts Jesus with Adam. And Paul is doing that again just to show us that Jesus is it. There's no one else besides him through which we can be saved. We're just going to work our way through this passage, chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way, death came to all men because all sinned. If you want a proof text on total depravity, there it is, Romans 5, 12. Sin entered through this one man, the first man, Adam. Right after creation, God gave Adam some instruction. Remember, they are living in harmony with God. They have this perfect communion with God. God has blessed them and put them in a garden. He gives them one commandment. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. This is a contract that God made with man. The Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. It's all yours. Free to eat. But, verse 17, you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Adam had complete, open, transparent communion with God, and God gave him one commandment, and you know what happened? That one act of disobedience brought sin into the world and death through that sin. When the Bible speaks of death, there is one of three things that it is speaking to. One, death is a spiritual death. That sin separated us from God. Paul says in Ephesians, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We are a spiritual corpse. We cannot get to God on our own. So it speaks of spiritual death. It also speaks of physical death. All of us die physically. It also speaks of eternal death, an eternal separation from God. And the Bible unashamedly calls that hell. Separation from God forever. Now here when Paul speaks of death, he's talking about all three. Because of sin, death comes. It is a spiritual death. It is a physical death. It is an eternal death. Think about the consequence of that sin of Adam. And when Adam sinned, in this way we all sinned. Adam, the first man, when he sinned and broke that fellowship with God, we were in his seed. We came from him. And just like poison at the beginning of a stream contaminates the entire stream, so sin now in the seed of Adam contaminates every one of us. Now here's an important point. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. Inherited sin, and not only that inherited sin, but the propensity to sin. The heart is deceitful, Jeremiah says, above all things, beyond cure, desperately wicked. Who can understand it? We are sinners because of Adam's sin. Look at verse 13. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin was not taken into account when there was no law. Sin was in the world, but it wasn't taken into account because the law hadn't come yet. I'll give you an example. Let's say we go out to Highway 79 and just say that there are no speed limit signs on 79. And we get in a car and we go 140 miles an hour because there's no sign that says we shouldn't. It's dangerous, but is it breaking the law? No, because there's not a law that says that. But once the sign's up there, once it says 65 miles an hour, now we know when we go over 65 or 68, somewhere around in there. That's what I've been told. When we go over that, we are breaking the law. We know that because there's a sign there. So Paul is saying sin was still sin before Moses wrote the law. How do you know, Paul? Well, look at verse 14. Paul says, here's why I know sin was sin, because remember what the penalty of sin is? Death. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a commandment. The speed limit sign wasn't up, but they still died. And so Paul says the penalty of sin was there even before the law. Now, check out that last part of verse 14. By breaking the law as Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. And we know the one to come is Jesus. Now that's interesting, Paul. How is Adam a type of Jesus? But first of all, let's think about what a type is. In the Old Testament, there was the sacrificial system, the animal sacrifices. And so if you're an Old Testament worshiper, you know you've sinned, so once a year you go and you make a sacrifice. You put an animal to death, depending on your economic status. It may be a bull, it may be a goat, it may be a lamb, could be a bird if you're very poor. That animal dies in your spot, knowing that God in his grace didn't put the worshiper to death, but instead allowed the worshiper a substitute. So you would know when that animal's blood was shed, you should have died. God graciously provided a substitute. Now, what is that a type of? Jesus. Now we know that Jesus is the Lamb of God. He took away the sin of the world. It's not the blood of bull and goat. Now it is Jesus. And so we can get that in our mind. Jesus is the completer of all that, one time for all time. But how's Adam a type of Christ? Disobedient. Brought sin into the world. How would Adam be a type of Christ? Simply this. Adam is a type of Christ in the sense that the work of Adam and the work of Jesus both have universal implication. Adam's sin caused all of us to be sinners. every human being. Jesus' obedience makes salvation possible, available to all men. Doesn't mean everyone will choose it, but it makes salvation available to all men. Now, in the rest of this passage, Paul is going to show six contrasts between Jesus and Adam. And you're going to see in this, as we go through, some of these repeat themselves. Some of them are very similar. And Paul does that because he doesn't want us to miss it. This is so important. So here we go. Six contrasts. Here's the first one. Adam brought the grave. Jesus provided the grace. Look at verse 15. But the gift is not like the trespass. The gift of Jesus is not like the trespass of Adam. For if the many died by that trespass of the one man, Adam, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by that grace of the one man, Jesus, overflow to the many? Paul is saying, every time a person dies, we are reminded of the curse of sin. Sin is ugly. Sin is painful. Sin steals from us those we love. Death is the curse of sin. Adam brought on that curse spiritually, physically, eternally. But with Jesus, there's a difference. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all live forever. Here's a second contrast. Adam brought judgment. Jesus provided justification. Look at verse 16. Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. Through Adam, man is declared guilty and condemnation follows his guilt. The verdict is death, spiritually, physically, eternally. But Jesus changes all that. Jesus brings justification. We cannot save ourselves. We trust in Jesus alone, and we stand before God, trusting in Christ, and he declares us not guilty, not because of what we have done, but because we are trusting in the work of Christ. So we're not guilty. Our sins are forgiven. But he doesn't just leave us forgiven. He takes the righteousness of Christ and he puts it on us. As Isaiah 61:10 says, he arrays us with the robe of righteousness. I love that imagery. And he puts that robe around us and he sees us forgiven and he sees us as his child. Adam brings on death and condemnation. Jesus brings life and not guilty. And by the way, here's a robe of righteousness, and I see you as my child forever. What a contrast. Number three, Adam brought the reign of death. Jesus provided the reign of life. Look at verse 17. For if by the trespass of one man, death reigned, death is personified here. It's our ruler. We can't get away from it. It rules over us like a tyrant. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Adam brings on the reign of death. Jesus takes that king off its throne and he replaces it with himself, the risen Savior, and we have the reign of life. Think about that. For the believer, as we live, spiritual death is gone. We now have life in Christ. Physical death is simply a transition to eternal life. Man, if we can grasp that. Physical death is just a transition to eternal life. John 5:24, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. Under Adam, we're condemned, right? But in Jesus, we're not condemned, but has crossed over from death to life. Death is simply a transition Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians 15. When the perishable has clothed itself with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Well, the sting of death is sin. That is, sin brought humanity under the reign of death. And the power of sin is the law. That is, the law reveals our sin and condemns us. But in contrast to all that, thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't get any better than that. We're all going to die. But when we know Christ, that's just a transition into life. Contrast number four. Adam brought condemnation. Jesus provides justification. Look at verse 18. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men. That one sin of Adam. He breaks the contract. God said, you got it all. Just don't do that one thing. He did the one thing. He broke the contract. So also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life to all men. Do you hear Paul repeating himself here? He doesn't want us to miss this. In Adam we all die. In Christ we all live. Jesus is the one who brings justification. Jesus is the one who gives us freedom. Have you trusted in Jesus? Contrast number five. Adam's disobedience made people sinners. Jesus' obedience makes people righteous. Again, Paul's saying the same things in a different way. Look at verse 19. For just as the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, many will be made righteous. Adam's sin brings condemnation. Jesus' obedience brings salvation. Now, we can read over that quickly, but think about what Jesus had to do. Leaving heaven itself and coming down to this earth. God the Son, who made all things. Without Him, nothing is made that has been made. God the Son, who spoke the world into existence. God the Son, who holds all things together. He left heaven itself and came down to die for the likes of you and me who had our backs turned and we were walking the other way. While we were still sinners, He died for us. Last one. Adam's sin multiplied sin. Jesus' work covered it all with grace. That undeserved favor. That free gift. Look at the first part of verse 20. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. The word added, a better Greek translation is come alongside. The law came alongside us. It just noted that we were sinning. It was the road sign. It told us that we were breaking the law. The law is our tutor, remember? It's just that bar that tells us, you can't jump me. No matter how hard you try, you can't get over me. So the law was added so that trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Wherever there is sin, there's more grace. However despicable the sin, God's grace can take care of it. Whatever you've done, God's grace can take care of it. God's grace covers it all. Verse 21. Grace increased all the more so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the question is this. Do you get God's grace? Do you understand that wherever you are, whatever you've done, God's grace is sufficient? Philip Yancey wrote this book, What's So Amazing About Grace? In chapter 1, he begins by telling a really hard story, even to read. It's a story about a pastor friend of his and a conversation this pastor had This pastor said, a prostitute came to me in wretched straits, homeless, sick, unable to buy food for her 2-year-old daughter. Through sobs and tears, she told me she had been renting out her daughter, 2 years old. She made more renting out her daughter for an hour than she could earn on her own in a night. She had to do it, she said, to support her drug habit. I could hardly bear hearing her sordid story. For one thing, it made me legally liable. I'm required to report cases of child abuse. And I had no idea what to say to this woman. At last, I asked her if she ever thought of going to church for help. I'll never forget the look of pure, naive shock that crossed her face. Church, she cried. Why would I go there? I was already feeling terrible about myself. They'd just make me feel worse. You know, sometimes we forget that this gathering is a place for those who are sick, just like we are. And some of us have been believers for so long, we've kind of forgotten what grace is really about. We got all the words down. And we got all the theology down. We can nail that. God must be pretty proud of us because we're such good people. Until we agree in our heart that God's grace is enough for the worst of sinners, then we'll never be able to understand that God's grace is enough for us. If there is something in your being that says, this lady, and I can't think of a more despicable sin, doesn't deserve grace, you've just condemned yourself. Because the sin of every seed is planted in our heart. Grace rips pride from our mind and our heart. And until you believe that grace is for the worst of sinners, then you're probably not going to understand it's for you. In Yancey's response to that, here's what he says. What struck me about my friend's story is that women, much like this prostitute, fled toward Jesus, not away from him. The worse a person felt about herself, the more likely she saw Jesus as a refuge. Has the church lost this gift? Evidently, the down and out who flocked to Jesus when he lived on earth no longer feel welcoming among his followers. What has happened? You know, it's one thing to go through the book of Romans and break it down and look through it. Man, what a beautiful book. Doesn't mean much unless we apply it, does it? Doesn't mean much unless we are a person and a church that welcomes the worst of sinners. Because when we say that, we're looking in the mirror, thanking God that he will welcome us.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Have you ever wanted to read through the Bible in 1 year? Do you need an engaging and thought-provoking guide to lead you on that quest? Well, that's found in Ron Moore's travelogue titled Journey Through the Bible. Its 365 devotionals take you on an intimate, personal journey through the major scenes of Scripture. It begins with the creation account in Genesis and ends with an uplifting invitation to walk beside Revelation's river of life. Along the way, you'll experience vistas of wonder, discovery, and hope. But best of all, you'll come to know the God of the Bible in a deeper way. Journey Through the Bible is yours for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
Paul says, if you have been unplugged from the power source of your sinful nature and you have been plugged into the power source of Jesus Christ, there should be a new life there. The old is gone, the new has come.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And don't forget, Ron's devotional book, Journey Through the Bible, is yours for a gift of any amount. You can order it online at ronmoore.org or call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Have you missed one of Ron's messages or series? Well, you'll find them when you click the broadcast button at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind, the journey relies on your generous gifts to pay for the airtime that makes this broadcast possible. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.